We're back. You're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community here on 88.5 KRFY. We're talking now to a representative of the Old Dominion, the mother of presidents, the 12th largest state in the union in terms of population, with almost 9 million people living there. It is the 10th state inducted into the union on June 25th, 1788. We are talking to a Virginian by the name of Rob Talbot. Hi, Rob. Thanks for being here.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Where are you from within the state of Virginia?
So there are three geographical regions. You got the Tidewater, the Piedmont, and the mountainous areas. I'm kind of in the Piedmont, right up against the mountains, in a county called Bedford County. And right around Smith Mountain Lake. So I spent a lot of time between Roanoke, Lynchburg, and Danville for those that are somewhat familiar with the region.
Yeah.
What's the geography like there? Is it valley? Is it hilly?
Where I was, I lived on a lake that was a man-made lake called Smith Mountain Lake, and it was filled in, I think it was in the 70s. It was just kind of coming in that area is the hilly area, and there's a mountain chain about 1,000 feet relief. So not really around here, we wouldn't call it a mountain. But, so it was kind of hilly, kind of more hilly was what we would call the area I lived in. But Virginia had a pretty definitive breaking point, with all the rivers that flowed east or that flow east. There's a place called the Fall Line, and DC is just to the east of that on the Potomac. But the Potomac and the James and all the major rivers have this space where there's just a lot of rapids, mm-hmm. and it drops mm-hmm. considerably, and that goes down into the Tidewater, which from basically just east of Richmond out to the water, is pretty flat, almost tidal from Richmond. Like, it's not much further out from Richmond that you get start feeling the tides.
How large is the city you were?
So I grew up in spent most of my time in a community called Manita, which was very, very small. I mean, I think our...
How small is small?
No stoplights.
Okay.
For most of my life. depending on if you use the, if you were to say... Elmira here is a Sandpoint address. If you included Elmira in Sandpoint, then how big is Sandpoint?
Yeah.
That's a hard question to answer, because Manita really wasn't, it was just a crossroads with a 4x4 post about 100 yards apart, basically. Huh. And I had a Manita address.
Uh-huh. I was just wondering, what was it like growing up as a kid in a crossroads? What are some of your memories? You were on a lake.
Well, so for me, one of the reasons I connect with this area so much is because Smith Mountain Lake was very much like this area as far as the development. Smith Mountain Lake, when I grew up, when I was 10, 11, 12, whatever, it was a lot of tobacco farms and tobacco barns, which are old log cabins that are like two stories tall, and they dry. Hanging dry tobacco in them. So there was a lot of farmland, and there just happened to be this lake. And then as I grew up, there were more and more people moving in from mostly areas that were more affluent, because this was pretty low income area when I was growing up. And more people came in from DC, New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, coming down after they retired or selling a house and moving in, which I don't know if that sounds familiar or not.
Absolutely.
So it was about an hour from Roanoke, which is the major, Roanoke's a little smaller than Spokane right now. If you combine all its little outlying areas. So Roanoke was about 45 minutes away, and that was the largest town. Lynchburg was about an hour away, and it was probably about 50,000 people.
Okay, now,
Coeur d'Alene says
there were tobacco farms where you were raised.
Yeah, so actually, the Maddox Farm, from Maddox Farm Productions, was a tobacco farm.
What does a tobacco plant, you know, I know it's leafy. Yeah. How high do they grow?
Between 4 and 6 feet, if I recall correctly.
Wow.
And the fun part is they're all, I mean, so it's about a 16-month process from seed to usable product.
16 months?
16 to 18 months. And you're, so you have to grow it, you have to pick it, and you don't pick it at once. You go around and pick the bottom out first, because the bottom is the part that matures first.
And oh, is, interesting.
And you wait till it almost dies on the plant, like mm-hmm. until it starts to go. Like if you were looking at a tomato or something, mm-hmm. or a lettuce, it looks like it's going past. It's going almost like you better eat it now. So you're pulling them off the bottom, which means you're reaching through the tarry other leaves to get to it. So you get all covered in tar. And plant matter, which is what you're smoking. So it's not great stuff. So you're reaching out to pull those, and then those get stacked, and then those go to the tobacco barn where they're dried. So you have to have a dry source of heat, like wood stove or an oil furnace or something like that, that dries them out. And they're, you know, you hang them on these long 4 or 5 foot long, I used to use them as tomato steaks, the ones that were left over. So they're just, you know, inch by inch, you know, whatever, square wood steaks. And you hang them on that, and then you have somebody climb up to the top and hang them. And they have to hang until they dry out, which is a fairly long process. And then you have to go get them out of there, and then you put them in these big satches, and then you go sell them. So there were a lot. But, yeah, I mean, the Maddox Farm from Maddox Farm Productions mm-hmm. was a 130-acre farm originally for tobacco farming.
I had no that this is all new to me. Did everybody smoke? Is my question then?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, the vast majority of people smoked when I was growing up around there for sure.
Yeah,
because I mean it was their life. I mean it was, you know, it's kind of their back then. It was the way of saying I support logging families or whatever like you might see around here.
Yeah.
A sticker or something.
Huh. That's such an interesting, I mean, that tobacco is so, it's very, that part of the country is really where it comes from, Virginia, and I guess the Carolinas a little bit too.
Very much Carolinas. Definitely in the Carolinas, but it stretched up into, it had been pushed down from central Virginia. Property values were too high, Charlottesville, Richmond areas.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of it there, but you could still see some of the old tobacco barns.
Yeah.
But south of I-64, which is kind of goes across the state from Richmond through Charlottesville, there was a lot of tobacco farming still when I was growing up. Not so much now, because what ended up happening back in the 90s is the federal government ended up paying people to stop producing it because so much of a decrease in demand, and there were so many tobacco farmers that were about ready to lose their property that if they didn't have some form of subsidy to help them switch over to another crop, that they would have probably lost their farms.
Oh, interesting.
Ours included.
Yeah.
Honestly, we got that subsidy.
So what did they switch to? What's grown there now?
A lot of it now is soybean, corn, hay for cattle, or just been switched to cattle fields, which you get a lot of tree loss for that, so they can make bigger fields.
Still a relatively rural part of the state, though.
Oh yeah, well, it's just south of where I grew up, around where the farm is in Pennsylvania County. Yes, it's very, very rural. And then when you go west into the mountains, it's still very rural. So Roanoke is kind of tucked in the first chain of the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's kind of it's actually right in between where the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Appalachian Trail connect.
You mentioned we're talking about the Piedmont area. Remind me what the other two kind of.
So the Tidewater is to the east, which is Richmond, or to the east of Richmond, out to the coast, which is probably the most unique natural space in Virginia, and cultural too, when you get on the Delmarva Peninsula, which is across the Chesapeake Bay from from Newport and and those areas.
Pardon me while I'm looking this up. Mm-hmm. That's called the Delmarva.
Delmarva Peninsula. Yeah, part of the peninsula. It's a peninsula that comes down south of New Jersey, and is in Delaware has part of it.
Yeah,
Maryland
okay.
has part of it. No, Virginia,
that,
Delmar.
Yeah,
has
that, part of that it. Part of the country where it's and that's the Chesapeake Bay, right? Coming up, it's separating the two. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time. I was lucky enough to spend a lot of time on the Chesapeake Bay and did a bunch of crabbing, and it's a beautiful area. And that Delmarva Peninsula is unique in that there's so much population between DC down into, you know, even Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, that stretch along I-90 that goes through there. And it's that area for some reason just has not been that populated. So it's very rural again and takes you back to an old time.
Yeah. It's a part of the, I guess that's not what I think of when I think of Virginia.
Correct.
I think of it as a more inland state, but it's obviously not. Now, Norfolk's there. That's a major seaport. Let's see. We're looking at, it's also a big state. Used to be bigger, of course, before West Virginia went its separate way.
Correct. An interesting little detail, the Appalachian Trail, most mileage, about 500 miles, is in Virginia.
Correct. Oh, wow.
That's almost a quarter. So that was a revelation for me.
Bristol, Tennessee. There's a town that crosses the border between Tennessee and Virginia. There's a spot down there in far southwest Virginia that Tennessee and Virginia and Kentucky all kind of touch. And Bristol, I think the AT comes in just east of Bristol into Virginia and then kind of skirts over to Roanoke, or, you know, through right near where I used to, where I went to college in Radford, and then up through through Roanoke and then up the Blue Ridge Mountains all the way to Harper's Ferry.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Rob, if a person's never visited Virginia before, what would be some key places that you'd say absolute must see?
Mount Rogers, which is the highest point in Virginia. I think if you were to go there, you would understand how wild Virginia can be. And I think a lot of people out west don't understand how wild it is, what it can be anyway. It's not as large of spaces as we see here, but it's pretty incredible. And the vertical relief in that space is pretty impressive too. I mean, we've only got right over 4,000 feet between where we are now in town and the top of Schweitzer. It's 4,300 or something like that. There are spaces in Virginia that have 3,500 feet from the top of the mountain down to the valley floor. And that part is impressive, but the thing that you would probably notice too from being out here and going there is the deciduous trees and the undergrowth and things like that is so much, it's so much more full and rich, the vegetation is. So that's one thing I would say. And then the other spot, if you wanted something that was culturally different, just a trip from Charlottesville to Richmond, you get a lot of that history that's out there, a lot of good food, a lot of really, really good music from Charlottesville and Richmond area. And the architecture is just beautiful in those spaces.
You mentioned food. Is there any food that is unique to Virginia, you know, that you can't leave the state without having tried or eaten?
Well, you'd have to go a little further east, I think, to get that. I mean, the Chesapeake Bay crabs are really, I mean, that's, if you can get out on the bay and you can find a little restaurant that's attached to a marina probably, and, you know, hangs off the side of the bank over the tidal waters, eat there. The more you think you shouldn't, you should.
Okay.
That's some really good food, and there's just a lot of high quality good restaurants in in Charlottesville and Richmond areas. But as far as the one thing I would say, if you go into Virginia, you should have is a crab.
That Delmarva Peninsula is completely separated from the rest of your. You have Correct. To go through like two other states to get to it from Virginia.
Well, there is a bridge. Or you can take a, yeah. There's a really remarkable bridge that goes underwater and turns into a tunnel.
Huh.
And I think it's the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Yeah.
I think that's if I recall correctly. I've been through it once or twice, and it's pretty neat. But yeah, that's the way to get there from like Newport News, Norfolk area.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned seafood which is not what comes to my mind when I think of like Virginia. I don't know what does. I guess.
I think there's a difference between seafood that you get out in the sea, and bay food.
Huh.
And so yeah, Virginia is not big on going out and getting food from out in the sea. It's more about the water food or the food that comes out of the water in that Chesapeake Bay, which the crabs are the best.
Yeah, that's it. That is interesting. So the crabs. Any other local delicacies that you might find in Virginia that you don't get out here?
My pocketbook doesn't really give me a lot of delicacies. it's not. I think the farm fresh food would be another thing that you might notice if you're out there, because there's around here, your tomatoes or whatever you're not getting them until late July, early August at best.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you're lucky.
And out there, if you're not eating tomatoes by end of June, you're a poor farmer. and a lot of times you get a lot of things you get two cycles of. Corn, for example, you get two cycles of them. So there's just a lot of fresh food, fruits and vegetables, and the vegetables specifically are really, really good.
Yeah.
Rob, we'd be remiss if we let you out of the studio without asking you that I have often heard more times than not Virginia not as a state but as a commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have much of an idea what a commonwealth is?
Well, from what I can recall, it's really just in name only. It was a way to. There weren't very many commonwealths within the British Empire. We also, I used to be a history government teacher. The idea of a country or a nation as we think of it now is far different than it was in mid 17 to late 1700s. A state was really what what we call the term we use now. State was a country. And so when we had and some places used the term commonwealth, which was just no different than a state. So when we talk about the 13 original colonies, 13 states, they were actually 13 different, what we would think of now as countries. So as those 13 different countries came together or started to separate from Great Britain, four of them, I think it was Massachusetts, Kentucky, Virginia, and
Pennsylvania.
all thought that the way to kind of flip a middle finger to the British was to call themselves the Commonwealth.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an interesting history. I'd love to know why other states did not continue with the name of Commonwealth. I have just visions of I've been corrected by people from Virginia when I refer to it as a state, like it's something near and dear to their identity.
I remember that. I remember a lot of that too. We got corrected a lot growing up, and therefore I corrected people as I taught. So, you look it up. I just looked it up earlier before I got on here with you, and it Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that it's just a name only, and that's what I recall when I looked it up too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
more of a historical term than anything that kind of dictates the function of the state is.
Correct.
Today.
Yeah.
How's the weather in Virginia, Rob? Did you get winter at all?
Yeah. It, well, When I was younger, we got a lot more winter. I mean, I remember the blizzard was at 93. We had 3 feet almost in 1 weekend. But the weather changes a lot more there. You know, here we kind of get this slow pattern. We probably won't see 60 again until late April or May now.
Over there,
I mean, it'll get cold. You know, this time of year, you'll have a cold snap, and it'll be highs in the 40s and lows in the upper 20s or 30s, and then a couple of days later, it'll be 70 degrees again. And sometimes, yeah, you'll get winter stick around, but usually it's, you know, I think the average snowfall in Roanoke is 6 inches a year. And the average daily high is around 45.
Yeah.
In the winter.
Yeah. Is it one of those states where when the snow falls, everything just kind of shuts down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, in the summertime from May through, and May is summer over there, pretty much, May through September, you're drinking your air more than you're breathing it. I mean, it is thick, thicker than the accents.
Humid.
Yeah.
Do you get back to visit often?
Usually about twice a year, maybe three, but it far less since in the last 6 years since I had my kids.
When you get back, what do you discover that you've missed? You know what I mean?
Mostly people.
The people.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mostly that. The falls. I really like the fall out there. It's the leaf. The leaves, there's just so much more of a spectrum of colors when fall actually hits out there, and it's a little longer as far as the nice part of it than it is around here.
Yeah, you don't start looking at your snow shovels, you know, like in early November.
Yeah. And there's not that hard deadline. You're like, oh, got to get everything done
before the first hard freeze.
You know, if something gets left out in the yard, it doesn't mean it's dead by spring. The flowers too. The spring flowers are quite beautiful over there, and gardening over there is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so. Anything in conclusion about your Commonwealth of Virginia before we let you go back to a normal state of Idaho?
I honestly, most of the things I loved about over there are why I'm here. You know, the people, the. The mountains, which are a little bigger here, the lake, which is a little bigger here, the food, which is honestly a little better here, at least the stuff I can afford, could afford. You know, the burgers are better. You know, all there's good food here too. But Virginia is a really nice historical spot, and there's some really neat stuff over there. So if you get over there, I would say I think the one thing I would leave you with is Northern Virginia is not Virginia. I mean, it is in Virginia, but it is not the culture of Virginia. It's more culturally D.C. and Maryland than it is culturally Virginia. So if you've been to Northern Virginia, you have not been to Virginia. You got to go south of I-64 to really, or over into the Delmarva Peninsula to really understand what the culture of Virginia is.
That's very interesting, yeah. I mean, that's where a lot of people live, but of course, but they're coming from all over. It's more of a federal city than any part of Virginia. Well, Rob, our time draws short. In fact, we gotta close it down. I see our next guest is waiting in the wings. So, thank you very much, Rob.
Well, thanks for inviting me on. It's always good to chat with you, fellas.
It's let's see, Jim. Are you going to go visit Virginia? What do you think? Have you been there?
I've got airplane tickets. But like Rob says, you know, I go to Arlington and Alexandria, which is not Virginia. That's more D.C. area and totally different field. I've got a sister and brother-in-law who live in Mechanicsville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's
around. The name tells you a lot.
I'm not going to go there. But so I have spent time in Virginia, but not the Virginia that Rob talks about.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much again, Rob.
My pleasure. Thank you again. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah. And thanks to our listeners.
Happy holidays, everybody out there.
Yeah. actually, when yours airs, it's going to be like, yeah, there'll be some holiday coming up, I think. This will be in probably March or something like that.
Oh, March.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Thank you very much, Rob.
Okay. Thanks, gentlemen.